glory. Father, thank you. I ask you to bless your children. I ask you to pour into them the things that they need. I ask you to pour into them the things that are in you that they need to walk through this time that they're in. The knowledge, the wisdom, the revelation, the ability, the grace. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I have some things he gave me, but I don't want to miss the Holy Spirit, what he wants to do. Have you ever wondered if something really was an assault of the enemy, or if it was just a circumstance? Or have you ever been praying on what you thought was a circumstance and the Lord showed you it was really a devil? And for me, that has been a key to winning. I like to win. I sometimes it might look like I don't have battles. I think I have an awful lot. There is in me like this thing of I want to persevere until I win, no matter how long that takes. And I feel like that's what we need to do, because some trials are a day, some are three, some are very long. And the devil's point is to try to get you to faint. He wants you to give up or think, oh, this isn't working. And what I found is it is working, and if you will not quit, you'll eventually beat him, because he knows the truth. He actually knows it quite well. He knows the scriptures. He knows, for example, he knows that Jesus has given you all authority over him. He's testing you to see if you know it. He'll push you to see, do you really know what your authority is? Because if you don't, he'll run roughshod over you. A lot of times I see Christians being bound by situations that they do not have to take. They don't have to take that. I have a friend that says, whatever you tolerate, that's what you're going to have to live with. And it's really a good saying, because Jesus has given us all authority, not just over the demonic, but believe it or not, he's actually given us authority over the earth realm. And there's some scriptures I want to share that I feel like some of these scriptures have actually saved my life in times of battle, where it really looked like there was no out. It really looked like there was no good way out of this, and it seemed like there wasn't hope, there wasn't healing, there wasn't a fix. But there are some scriptures that, you know, this is what I love about the Holy Spirit. In a moment where all looks lost, sometimes just in the middle of it, a scripture will rise in your heart, and all it takes is one, you know? Just one scripture pierces the darkness, because scriptures are light. My word is light. He is light. His word is light. And that light just pierces the darkness. And especially when it's a living word. And by a living word, I mean a word that you didn't just dredge up out of your memory, which is good, still powerful, still has all authority over the devil. But when the Holy Spirit drops something in you and raises up in you a scripture that you maybe haven't even thought of in some months, you haven't even thought about it, you didn't read it in the last, you know, some months, and it comes from the Holy Spirit and it rises in your heart, and it can be something as simple as you're more than a conqueror, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. But when it's that, it's like this piercing light, and you can just say that thing over and over, and the devil is destroyed by that. He's pulverized by it, because the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And I think sometimes we get in a trap of praying. I know I pray a lot, and I love prayer, because I love the good report, and I love victory, so I love the place of prayer, because it gives so much victory. But what I love even more is that there are some things that just praying, it can't do as well as the piercing sword of the Word of God. You know, the Word of God, it's like a bullet in his face. So I want to talk about some things that have really helped me. And I'm going to put this in the framework of, let's say, it could be sickness, but you could apply this to any attack, any circumstance that isn't going well. And in most Christian meetings, if the speaker says, who in here has symptoms in their body, usually more than half of the people are struggling with symptoms in their body. And that really bugs me. And I won't say I haven't had them, too, and that really bugs me. And so I want to talk about getting some victory. Some sicknesses are directly from demonic input, and some are not. Okay? Now, some people, they don't need to know that. Their faith will work either way. But me, I really like to know. Because I like a good battle. You know? I like prayer, and I like to win. So if I know it's a devil, it's a whole different kind of battle than if it's just a bodily thing. Okay? That's just me, not saying you have to do that. But I want to talk for a minute about something that happened when I was a brand new believer, just getting turned on to the Lord. I think I was just, I don't even know if I was filled with the Spirit yet, but I was so turned on to the Word of God. And I had found this little Bible study on Tuesday nights at someone's house. I was all of about 26, and the guy that led the Bible study was all of about 23, but he was powerful, this guy, and sold out to Jesus. And we're in this little Bible study, and this lady, she was probably in her 50s or 60s, she said, I have had a stomachache for 6 months. Now, I didn't hear God's voice. I truly, I don't even think I was full of the Holy Ghost, but something in me went, that's a demon. I just knew that is not a normal stomachache. And she'd had also depression. Listen, depression quite often is a devil, and quite often it will manifest in more than one thing. Now, I didn't know any of this stuff then. Something in my gut said, that's a devil. That's not just a stomachache. Something's wrong. Well, I was brand new. I knew the Word said that we had authority over devils. So in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm gonna cast that out. But the anointing wasn't on me. It was on Chris, who was the leader of the thing. Now, here's what happened. He rose up like a monster. And the presence in that room, you know, I'd never encountered the presence of God, or I think I may have encountered the presence of a devil once before that. But there was like this massive presence of darkness suddenly in the room, and this massive presence of God in the room. And I'm going to tell you, little brand new me was like, wow. And he took authority over that thing. He cast it out, and this is what happened. Now, I'd never seen anybody get delivered. I'd never seen any of this stuff. This woman, like, passed out. Like, I thought she was dead. I thought we killed her. Because she fell back, like, dead, unresponsive dead. And I'll tell you the truth, it was scary to me because I'd never encountered these kind of presences. You know, I didn't, like, what is that, you know? So after a few minutes, she came to, she sat up, and she looked, her face looked as pure as a little toddler, little, brand new little child, beautiful, like her face was so, like, sweet and pure, and it was like she was in a trance. I don't think she was, but she began to say things that you could not say unless you were under the power of the Holy Ghost. She began to say, this day I give glory to God my Savior, for he has saved me, he has delivered me, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was like the Psalms. It was like, wow, what was that? I got in the car, and I'll be honest, I was kind of freaked out. I knew it was God. I knew it was good. I get home, and I opened my Bible, not knowing what I was looking for, but I'm like, God, you have to show me what that was. What was that? So I always was one to ask a lot of questions. And he took me to Mark 9. Starts in 17. One person from the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought you my son because he has a spirit, a demon, a spirit, that makes him unable to speak. Some translations say mute. So now this spirit took on physical attributes. Whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground. He foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes stiff. So he's mute, and he has seizures that today a lot of people would call epilepsy. Now, am I saying epilepsy is always a demon? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that one was, okay? And so today we just medicate, don't we? Medicate, medicate, medicate. But what if it's just a dumb devil? So here's what happens. When he saw him, and what it's saying there is when he, the devil, in this kid, saw Jesus. When the spirit, the foul spirit, saw Jesus, the spirit immediately threw him into convulsions, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. When Jesus saw that, when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again." And after crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He is dead." That's what I came home and read that night. And I went, okay, that's what happened. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up. My point is this. There's a number of healings in the Bible that really were deliverances. Not all of them. And so what if your body is under attack? For me, it is very helpful to know, is this a trickster of a devil, or is this physical? You don't have to do it this way. Healing is yours. It belongs to you, and you can fight out whatever way you find best. There's a million ways to get healed, but this helps me. So are all sicknesses from a demon? No. So now here we have, so that guy was mute, right? And Jesus called it a deaf and dumb spirit, although it also manifested in seizures. It didn't mention that he was deaf. It mentioned that he was dumb or mute. Okay. Now let's look at Mark 7, two chapters earlier. They brought to him a man who was deaf, and this translation says, had a speech impediment. Another translation says, mute or hardly able to speak. They begged him to lay his hand on him. Taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Now, he didn't, in that case, he didn't, same kind of look and manifestation, right? Deaf, dumb, right? Same, similar manifestation, but this time he prays. Now, when it says he sighed, if you kind of look it up, to me it looks like it's really saying he was groaning in the spirit or silent prayer or like that. If you're an intercessor, there are moments, and this is, I think, what happened with Lazarus when he was about to bring Lazarus out. He wasn't just going, huh. I think he was like this, oh. You know, there was that release that happens when you're an intercessor. Sometimes a release comes through your body because it's heaven manifesting. So it's like there can be like a pressing down. There can be like a, whoa, you know, this release of heaven into earth. And if you don't understand that, that's okay. But if you're a prayer warrior, you can become skilled at both of these things. One of the purposes of prayer, in fact, for me, the primary purpose is to make you an expert in the realms of the Spirit, because it's the only way that I know to become one. We're supposed to win over them. We're supposed to walk in that realm, but how can we do it if we don't see and hear and understand what's happening there, and if we don't have a revelation of our authority there? If we don't really get it, it's like Paul said, we're beating the air, you know, I don't know what I'm hitting here. You know, I'm just going to throw out these scriptures randomly, hope it hits. You know, and I'm all for faith. I love faith. And faith, the faith message has taught me a lot. But I'm going to tell you that for me, when I pray a lot, it has caused me over the years to become sensitive to what's really going on. Okay? I have a friend I just was praying with the other day, and he didn't even tell me what the issue was. But while I'm praying for him, the power of the Spirit comes on me, and I said, and by the way, that's a devil. I see this devil hovering over him. I see a picture of it, a picture. I don't see the devil. I saw a picture here. That's a word of knowledge for me. That's how I see a word of knowledge many times. I see this thing, and it's saying to him, oh, it's over. This is over. You're going down for the last time. And I said, that is not true. That is a devil trying to discourage you and get you to give up. It's not true. You're only beginning. So that word of knowledge, if he believed it, and I know that he did, if he believed it, then he has something to stand and go, oh, no. I'm not going down, I'm coming up, devil, get, you know, move over, right? We have to know our authority But for me, it's helpful to familiarize ourselves with the realm of the Spirit, because that's our real home. You know, about a week ago, I was praying over tonight's message, and I thought it was going to be called, "Which World Are You Living In?" But as it got closer to today, God switched it up a little bit. But I feel like he wants us to understand how to handle these things. I'm using the context of sickness, but this can be threat against your finances. It can be threat against relationships. It can be threat against a business. It can be pressure. Have you ever been, this may not have happened to you if you're not moving with God or spending a lot of time in prayer, but there are times when there's a pressure that comes that you can't explain. It's an uncomfortable pressure that could almost, it's not anxiety, but it's, I know you know what I'm talking about, right? It's a pressure that comes, and it is demonic, and it's because you're getting a little too close to what God wants to do, and he hasn't got anything on you, so he'll try to pressure you to back down. I have a friend that ministers to a lot of ministers, and he said he's never prayed with a minister that didn't walk in a lot of pressure because of what they were walking in. The devil doesn't want them to just wander around and be able to do this stuff. So there's a continual pressure of the enemy trying to get them to quit, stop, back off, get discouraged, believe the lie. So at some point, we don't have a choice but to know how this works. Right? That's why so many fall away. People quit and give up and get discouraged and fall away because they don't really understand what has happened. You understand? Sometimes if somebody comes home and asks their spouse for a divorce, that can be averted if you realize they just got dealt with by a demon. You just need to pray them out of them, that you need to pray them into deliverance. Sometimes it can be solved, but we're looking so much in the natural these days. We just accept what's in the natural as this, oh, God, come in, like God's just going to come in on a white horse and fix it. But many times, it's much more complicated than that. The devil is trying to take you out, and the war isn't between him and God. God already won that war, handed you the sword and said, here's your sword, use it. And it's on you to fix it. And this was a hard concept for me at first, because I thought God should fix it, and he thought I should fix it. But he gave us the word of God because the devil has no recourse at all, and he knows it. And even before I knew how to pray, before I knew how to pray in tongues or had the power of the Spirit, I had learned somewhere, somebody must have preached that you can beat the devil up with one scripture, one. And that's all I knew. And I remember this warfare that I was in, and it was over and over and over, many times a day. And I remember sitting at work, and I had this one scripture. And I quoted that thing, and I quoted that thing. Every time it came, I would quote that thing. And this went on for days until that devil just finally got sick of it and left. Never came again. Now it's easier, right, because I get it a little better. And I know how to pray a little better. But if all you had was one scripture, you can win. So, hallelujah. So just another example of a sickness caused by a devil in Luke 13. There was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent over double. Can you imagine the pain of 18 years and all it was a dumb lying devil? I mean, I have compassion for her, but can you imagine in one moment Jesus sets her free and she's healed? Right? But wouldn't it have been better? See, in our case, we've been given the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to put up with that stuff for 18 years. Right? We don't have to put up with it. But the devil's job is to make you feel like you have to have this long fight. And I'm not judging anybody. I've had some battles where I did not win immediately and didn't know how, and you know, was doing everything I knew. But what I want to say is this. Oh, let me just go to this one more. We had a woman that, she's been to a lot of our retreats. And as long as I've known her, she always had physical malady of one kind or another. Many different ones. Just seemed like a lot of different things were. She was always sick, but it was never the same thing twice. And we were out in the mountains at our mountain retreat. And we're in the middle of worship. And the Lord says to me, that's a spirit of infirmity. that just keeps coming, doling one thing out and another. And because she's looking in the natural, which is normal when your body feels crummy, right? Especially when you don't feel good, it's a little tougher. And that's the devil's point. He wants to keep you from looking in the spirit realm, because he wants to, if you're in pain, believe me, it can be hard to focus. And sometimes you need someone else to come and help you then, right? Because if you're in a lot of pain, it is not fun. But the devil sometimes tries to inflict pain to get you to stay focused on the trial or the pain or the situation. He tries to keep you, this is why he messes with your emotions. If you're still not free in that realm, he tries to mess with your emotions so you'll stay circumstance focused. You'll stay looking at the circumstance, looking at what's the big thing in your face right now, and you won't go behind the scenes and go, oh, wait a minute. This is just that little puny thing. Little puny devil. Not even hard to take him out. And yet here for 18 years, this poor lady bent double. Okay? Sometimes there's a combo package, I'll call it, where a devil comes and does something, then he's gone, but there's still leftovers. Okay? I'm personally convinced that sometimes an infection can be that. There's a hit from a devil. You cast him out, but you still have to command your body to come in line. You have to command certain things in the physical to come in line, right? And that's a combo. So there was a man, Edgar, he used to go see this man in Ohio, powerful old Pentecostal holiness minister. And this guy moved in miracles all the time. But one of his strongest area of miracles was the healing of deafness. And almost always, we used to laugh because he talked real funny. And he would get people up on the platform and he'd stick his fingers in their ears and he'd say, thou foul, deaf and dumb spirit, come out in the name of Jesus. Sounds funny, but they'd get healed. And then he would stick his fingers back in their ears and say, now Lord, recreate the eardrum. So there was a spirit, but it had done damage to the body. So he had to speak to the body to be healed too, okay? So Jesus said he wanted us to be as shrewd as serpents. As shrewd as them. So we have to be paying attention so we can outsmart them. Accidents, sometimes there's a spirit of an accident that'll cause trauma to somebody. The spirit's long gone, but now they've got to deal with the physical part of it, right? Sometimes we have to deal with trauma to the body. Sometimes we have to ask the Lord to recreate certain pieces. Which for him, by the way, is not hard. It's not hard. So I want to share some principles that I know you know these scriptures, but these scriptures for me have literally been life and death. There's some scriptures that to me have been life. You know, when you're, if you were in a really bad place, let's say you were in, I don't know, Bosnia, in a really bad war, it's all over, the bad guys have you, and you're about to be killed, and somebody comes in and rescues you, you will never look at them the same way again. You will never, they will always have a place in your heart. And I have a friend like that. And to this day, if she came and said, can I have your car? Yes, yes you can. Yes, anything I have that you need, it is yours. Because she saved my bucket. Well, there are scriptures that are like that to me, that mean that much to me, because in a dark moment, God whispered, not here, but here, a scripture came and it became like, oh, yeah, phew. And it took care of the enemy with such power that I was out of the situation. Believe me, you never look at that scripture the same. That has become yours. It's your scripture. It's become a personal friend. So one of my favorite scriptures is Luke 10:19. Where Jesus is talking to all of his disciples, you, me, all of us. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you. Now, if we don't understand covenant, we might say, well, that didn't work. Something harmed me. So God, give me the grace to explain this in a way that is clear. When I was a little kid, I was best friends with this kid who was always the little rebel. She had a little bit of rebellion all the time. Didn't matter what you weren't supposed to do, that's what she wanted to do. And we had these neighbors who were an older couple, and we had to walk by their house on the way to school. And they had this sign, "Don't walk on the grass." So, of course, she would go out of her way to tromp across the grass through the garden. Now, if they didn't have that sign, she wouldn't have, but she just had that thing about her. Now, but the fact that the sign was there, did that stop her? No, the fact that that scripture is there, does that stop the enemy? It says nothing shall by any means, not by any means. Think about that scripture. Not by getting run over. Not by sickness and disease. Not by cancer. Not by somebody running you through. Not by any means harm you. So just like that sign didn't stop Ann Powell from walking across the grass ever, if the old man showed up at the door, believe me, he was there to enforce that, and she got off the grass real quick because he was cranky. So what I'm trying to say to you is Satan is rebellion. He will always push your envelope. He will always try to bend the rule to see how far he can walk through your garden. How much can he get away with? See, with some people, he knows he can't get away with them. And here's how it is with some people. Here. He can get away with a lot here and nothing here. Do you hear me? There's some people that have so much revelation in one area, he doesn't stand a chance, and he knows it. But he can push them and shove them in this other area, and because they've had emotional failures in that area or areas, things in their past that did not go well. See, here's what we've done. And I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I learned this by doing it wrong, okay? I'm not one of those smart people who learned all the right way from the Word and just got it right. I'm one of those people who learned by failing at something, getting it wretchedly wrong, and then pressing into God saying, what am I doing wrong and how do I make this work? And God would lead me through into victory and say, okay, I got it. And then it might be another way the next year and another way the next year. Now, I'm not proud of that. That is not the way you're supposed to do it. That's the wrong way. So I'm not by any means saying I expect everyone to have this right or that there's something wrong with you if you don't. I'm just saying that what we've done as a Christian people, especially in America, is we've formed our doctrine based on our experience. Because our emotions saw, well, I tried that, it didn't work, so it doesn't work. So I do believe the Bible, but kind of not that scripture. We don't ever say that. We say we're in faith, but the fact is that some of us, through our emotions, have allowed a lie to become reality. And the problem is what you really believe in here is what happens. Not what you believe here. And not what you say you believe. Okay? Some people say, well, if you say it enough, it'll come to pass. There is some truth to that. If you say it enough, you may convince your heart and eventually get into faith. There is a principle to that, and that can be good. So I'm not saying don't do it. If that's all you got, that's better than nothing. But what I am saying is, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, we believe or don't believe. You know, for me, I didn't grow up hearing that the Bible was the written word of God. I didn't grow up hearing that it was infallible. It was years before I even understood. When I first got saved, I was like, literally, did you write this? Because see, I met him. I knew he was real. I met the real Jesus Christ in my bedroom, alone, 15 years old. And man, I knew one thing, Jesus is real. But I didn't know if he wrote that book. I didn't know if that book was infallible. How would I know that? I didn't know that. And when I would read it, I'd be like, nah, that doesn't sound like... I came across some things Paul said, and I thought, nah, you wouldn't say that. Nah, don't believe it. That's where I was at. And I think that's where a lot of people are at. They're not fully persuaded in their heart, in their soul, in their emotions, that the Bible is absolutely infallible. And think about it. If we really believed that it was, we would behave differently. So the idea of, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, when I really got that, when I really understood that, I got enraged at the enemy. And everywhere I went, people started getting healed. And I didn't know anything about healing, but I knew this. I have authority over the devil. And I would go to the Jewel. I would go to the food store. I would go, you don't have Jewel here in Wisconsin, I regret to say. I'd go to the grocery store and people would get healed because I was so angry at the devil and his sicknesses. Because I had a revelation that I have authority over devils. Don't you dare tell me different, devil. See, and when there's a fight between you and the devil, which usually comes in the dark of night, and what I mean is not the literal night, but in a nighttime circumstance, a trial where things, he likes to set you up to knock you down. Especially if you've been around a while and you have a little bit of knowledge, he'll work on setting you up. He'll set you up. He'll try to get you separated from strong believers, get you out of the prayer meeting, get you too busy, weaken you, and then hit you in a weakened condition. Because he knows that in your strong condition, you'll beat him to a pulp. But if he can weaken you first and get you to question things first, get you to question God's love for you, get you to feel tired, you haven't had enough sleep, you've been so busy, everybody's demanding everything, you're weak, you're tired, and then he nails you with something big, you're not in a good position, and he knows it. He set the whole thing up, and most people never see it. They never even see it was a setup. But I have news for you. You can still win. You have to kick in and say, one of us is going down, and it is not going to be me. And I don't care how long this takes. You can take him out. I'm just going to tell you something off the record. You can believe this or not. This is just holiology. I can't prove this by the scriptures, but I can say this to you. I have found in the place of prayer, you can take them out to where they'll never hurt anybody again. There is a place where if you keep after it, see, what most people do is they cast them out and they may have success getting them go down the road. I don't like that because devils that go down the road can come back. Devils that go down the road can hurt a sister or brother in Christ. So there's a book, I don't know if it's available in the States, but a missionary friend of mine wrote, it's called The Only Good One Is a Dead One. And he's talking about devils. Okay, I was free. You know, don't say it's heresy. I'm just telling you my personal opinion. You can take it or leave it. So, will he walk across your grass? Yeah, he'll try. He's doing it to see if you're watching. Are you paying it, Mr. Schroeder? Do you see that I'm in your grass? Do you see that I'm in your garden picking a bean? Nah, 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 nah. Are you really watching? Uh-oh, you're watching. Are you really going to come through the door? Are you just going to stand in the door and yell at me? Or are you coming out the door? Because if you're coming out the door, as I'm running. That's the devil. That's his behavior. Are you really paying attention? Do you really believe that word? Do you really believe that the word is true? That you have authority? See, he already knows that. The devil fully knows, absolutely, without question, that everyone in here has authority over him. But he will push you until he knows you know. And some people, to be honest, are a pushover. And again, I'm not condemning, but it's because they've been through stuff and they have not been able to win, and so they've accepted a failure mentality. They've accepted it for whatever reason. It doesn't work for them. Come on. Do you ever feel like, well, it works for them, but not me? It works for that guy, but it's not working for me? See, I used to feel like that. I thought there were the haves and the have-nots. But the truth is, those that it was working for were doing something different. Their behavior was different, their choices were different, and they were doing something different. It wasn't just that God favored them more. It wasn't just that they were born special. They had made different choices, and they fought a different fight. And if you get that, you don't have to put up with any of this. We do not have to put up with this stuff. We were made to win. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So now, another scripture that has meant a huge amount to me, and I know you've heard this preached a billion times, but Mark 11, 23 and 24, this has become a personal thing. And to me, this scripture, if I had no other Bible, if I had no other scriptures except Mark 11, 23, and I like 24 too, but 23 is it. Jesus said to them, now remember, he has just killed the fig tree with one word. May no man ever eat fruit from you again. And it withered from the root. And within 24 hours, most people say within 12 hours, it was visibly dead. And the disciples were surprised. They were surprised that after 12 hours, this thing had died from the root up. And they were like, Lord, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Like, what are you, God? What are you, God or something? And he takes this moment to teach them, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. When I got a hold of this, I knew Jesus was saying, it's not just some mountain. It could be a tumor, it could be an infection, it could be COVID, it could be a cold, it could be a broken bone. You can speak to anything on this earth. And this is where, okay, let's say it's one of those sicknesses that was not demonically inspired. You still have the authority, but you still have to stand your ground. And the first time is the worst time. And what I mean by that is, if you're not used to fighting and winning, the devil is going to fight tooth and toenail to get you to disbelieve that this works. He's going to try to get you to believe that scripture is not true. You commanded it. It didn't happen. Give it up. So what do? You do it for about 3 days. It still didn't happen. He's going to try to get you to believe that didn't work. Give that up. So then what happened? There's a little bit of something that settles in your soul of that doesn't really work. I tried that. It doesn't work. So when somebody shows up and says, like, let's take authority over it, deep down there's this little bit of doubt and unbelief. This is quite normal. I'm not condemning anybody. This is normal. This is how our flesh operates. This is how our soul operates, okay? But we can change that. We can change how we respond. You know, my old pastor said something that I've never forgotten, and it's been so powerful. He said, faith is an act of your will. It's an act of your will. You choose, I will believe this. And here's what that means. It's like if there was a boxing ring, and a boxer comes in and he pushes you, but you've been told that you have authority over him and that you're going to win this fight. But he's big and he's ugly and he's mean. And you push back and he pushes you back. And it starts to look like you're going down. It starts to look like, well, he's bigger, he's uglier, he's meaner. And my pushing doesn't seem to be hurting him. I'm better off if I just get out of this ring. Listen, that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to just say, okay, this doesn't work. I'll just go out and I'll try to get it some other way. I'll go to every meeting where some gifted person like Edgar has their hand burned off and they can lay hands on me and I can be healed that way. But I'm going to tell you, that is second best. That is not the best way to be healed. The Word of God is the way to be healed. It's the highest and best way to be healed is through faith in God. We have a friend, my friend, Jerry Odell. He's quite old now. Spent the whole life on the mission field. He grew up, he is T.L. Osborne's nephew, okay? Jerry Odell is. And he grew up on the crusade fields with T.L. Osborne, watching all these miracles. Just huge, and just miracles. His whole life has been a life of miracles. Well, he and Edgar were friends. And he said to, we were with having dinner with him and his wife one time. And he said, Edgar, I always wanted to take you with me when I go to India, but he said, I won't do it. And the reason is, if I introduce you as someone that has power because God grew your hand back, he said, I will be harming these people. Because when you go home and they get sick, they'll be like, I wish Edgar was here. He said, I don't want him to know that. He said, I teach him that the power of healing is in the gospel message and in his crusades, which are hundreds of thousands of people, by the way. All they do is they preach the gospel message, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and by the time they get done with the gospel message, already there's people having blind eyes open and deaf ears open just from the power of the gospel message. So we have in this country what I believe is educated unbelief. And again, there's no condemnation, but we don't have to be like that. We can go to some work to clean out our soul and clean out those things, because if you listen again to that scripture, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Now, you may have an argument with your soul. And you may have the devil say to you, well, I don't think you really believe. And you know what? You take that scripture and you shove it in his face again. See, when I, you know, sometimes, you know, I knew a brother that was a pastor, and he used to tell this story about how he had horrible asthma. Horrible, horrible. And he would, and it was kind of life threatening, honestly. And he woke up in the middle of the night, and he said this one time, You know, he was older by this time. He and his wife were in bed. They were fast asleep. He got this attack, and he couldn't breathe. And he said a rage overtook him. And he began to just let the devil have it. And that devil was gone and never did come back. And he used to say, you have to get mad. Now, I don't think you have to get mad, but you have to get serious about, listen, if you give in to him, that's what he really wants. He wants you to think, this doesn't work. I assure you this works. I assure you this works. But you have to stand your ground, and you have to fight, and you have to say. And sometimes, here's the good news. Remember I said the first time is the worst time? Because the first time, he really doesn't want you to believe it works. See, the first time I ever saw the authority of God work through me, I was brand new, and I had just learned we have authority. And I was living in this cabin that had a hole in the roof, but I loved this place, 15 acres, rusty, rusty, rusty well water. And because of this rust, the toilet was like this old rust bucket, okay? And it had something on it had broken, and I couldn't, you know, I was trying to fix it. Toilets are pretty easy to fix, but I couldn't get it fixed. And I got mad, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to work. And I heard this ka-chunk, and it started working. See, a new believer often believes more readily than an older believer because they haven't been through those battles where their soul will begin to say, well, I tried that once. It's not that it didn't work, it's that you quit too soon. So don't go to a battle like if you were in a real war, a real one, and they sent you into battle, would you go half-heartedly? Like, yeah, I'll see if this works. No. No, because your life depends on it. You would believe me, you would be at 100% attention. Your every instinct would be alert, your ears would be alert, your eyes would be alert. If you were ducking down to not be seen, everything in you would be doing at 100%. Well, when we go into battle, I think we're too casual. And what I'm seeing is that if we will enforce the word of God, it will be enforced. Because no one else will do it for us. Okay? And so what happens is some people get this revelation and they start to move in healing as in miracles, and that's awesome, but then all the other people flock to them as though they are the answer. That's a broken system. We love them, we respect them, but their job is to teach us how to do the same, not to flock to them like they're the answer. They're not the answer. The Word of God is the answer. The Word of God that we believe. Okay, so there's a war on. The very next scripture after that is, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, nope, I copied the wrong one. I have to do it by memory. The next scripture is Mark 11:24. It says, all things whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received them and you shall have them. So we have to do this determination of our heart. I believe I have received it. Now you can trick yourself. I have tricked myself into saying I believe. Believing I believe, but deep down not really believing. And here's what I found out. That doesn't work very well. Right? And so for me, it became, a part of the war became looking close at what's really going on in my heart. Am I really like the guy who says, yeah, I do believe, help my unbelief. I do believe, I've been used in healing, I see a lot of healings, I see a lot of people get healed. I've been healed many times. But there's this little, what about that time? I did that and that didn't work. When that happens, we have the job of, we get to do this. We get to renew that area of our soul. We get to renew our mind and we get to clean that out because that stuff will kill you. The devil wants to win, but you can't let him. Okay. So just some personal, I call these bullets. These are bullet points, but they're really bullets that you would shoot the devil with. These are some that I've just, you know, used recently. Psalm 105, it says, he brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribe. Amen. Exodus 23, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless your bread and water, and I will take all sickness away from the midst of thee. Okay, now that's starting to make me mad, because he was talking to people in an old covenant, and he said that we have a new covenant based on better promises. So sometimes, I got so mad at the devil recently, you ever get so mad you're like spitting? I was spitting mad because I had gotten healed of something and he tried to bring it back. And I got enraged. All day I was enraged and spitting these scriptures as fast as I could spit them. And I didn't have them on a note paper. It's like, you said, you know, in the name of Jesus, that there would be no feeble or infirm among us. You said we have a new and better covenant on better. I mean, I'm spitting. But you know what? That devil left.
Hallelujah.
He left, and he did not come back.
Yeah.
See, but what if I would have wimped out?
Right.
I would be sick right now. But I'm not. Okay. So Jeremiah 31, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. Hebrews 8:6, Jesus has now obtained superior ministry, and to that degree he is the mediator of a better covenant established on better promises. And then this one I've used a ton of times. This has been life to me. I know y'all know it. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. In other words, this is your covenant. That when the enemy tries to throw darts at you, whether they were sent by words or whether they were just, whether it's just a devil doing what he does, you can say, no, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. That's not going to prosper. If you say you're taking my finance, if you say you're taking my health, no, sir. That's not going to prosper. That's my heritage. And the punchline is, their righteousness is from me. In other words, you got nothing on me because I've been made the righteousness of Christ. You can't say you can do this to me because I've got some sin in my life. Because I've been made the righteousness, you've got nothing on me, devil. I'm just debating whether to tell you. I'll tell you this story. We were going to do a retreat. I believe this one was at, might have been at Lake Lawn. And for months before this retreat, like 3 months before this retreat, at night, it felt like somebody was stabbing me in the arm with a hypodermic needle. And I knew it was in the spirit, and I knew the devil was trying to give me something that I didn't want to receive. And I just kept, all I had was this scripture. I must have said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper or succeed. I must have said that 50 times a day, because this went on. He didn't just leave. This went on, and it went on, and it went on. And somehow I knew it was about that retreat. The devil does not like retreats because lives are changed. He doesn't like because we create a habitation of the Lord. And where there's a habitation of the Lord, lives are changed. He hates that. So he was trying to take me out beforehand. This went on. We get through the retreat. It was fabulous. God did everything he wanted to do. I don't think there was anything that the devil stole. And the next morning, I'm laying in bed going, ah, thank you, Jesus, I get to rest. And I see this devil. It was this big, giant, ugly thing. And he was sitting down in like this, I don't understand this, but he was like sitting in a hole, a big giant thing. And it was like I looked at that thing and I said, your day is over. You got nothing. And that was the end of that attack. He was trying to take me out. And you know what? If I would have received that, I believe there would have been trouble. If I would have just let him, no, sir, no. You can't give me that. And I believe he was actually trying to give me a sickness. I don't know what it was about, but I, you know. Whenever the devil's trying to shoot you up with something, it is not good, right? So you have all authority over him. You have authority over bacteria. You have authority over land. You have the one thing, the only thing we do not have authority over is another human, okay? Because they are considered a sovereign entity by God. We don't control them. We pray for them. But we don't, it would be out of order for us to command them, right? But you can command. If that projector's not working, we can speak to it. Speak to the mountain, okay? Hallelujah. When I say the thing about we're not an authority over another human, what I mean is this. Sometimes people use control to make somebody do their will, okay? They try to use spiritual control and manipulation to get a person to do what they want. But that's really creepy. And it's not God's will. So that's what I was trying to get at there. I think you have, and the other kind of authority is you have a right authority as a mom to guide and direct them at some point as they grow up. You know, you kind of want to release them into being their own person. But I don't, you know, the Bible talks about age of accountability. I'm not an expert on that. I know when it happened with me and my mom, and I know when our role changed from she was my mom and a strong authority, incredibly strong authority, scary authority, and then we became friends. And I know when that happened. Do you want to answer that? You're a mom.
Well, for me, I think one of the most important things is really to develop relationship with the Holy Spirit, because he's the mentor. He leads and guides us. You know, as parents, or just anybody, you know, we can't do life without him. He has strategies that we don't even understand. But sometimes we get so busy with reading the latest book and trying to apply that formula, we bypass the direct link of wisdom and revelation. And as far as age of accountability, what I love about that is you know when you know, because the Holy, if you say, Holy Spirit, you know, what's up with this? You know, what is the, you'll know. I remember the day it happened to both my kids, and it wasn't on the same day. They're born the same day, a few minutes apart, but their age of accountability was not in the same week. It was, you know, probably 6 or 8 months apart. And it's based on their will as they develop and grow and make their own decisions in life. And it was at that point that I made sure we went through the true salvation message of, Jesus is Lord. And when I did that, I had such peace and a release that doesn't matter. You know, I raised them up, God, they're yours. Here's the package. And then as they fumbled and failed many times, you know, they now have the wisdom and revelation because they are born again. And, you know, yes, the enemy's job is to try to steal their destiny, but he can't win against a praying parent or a praying grandparent. I've seen it too many times where, you know, a wayward child is, you know, struggling, but the prayers of the righteous prevail much. But there's also this thing about free will. When there's open rebellion and sin, I've seen many people stumble for years and lose years off their life because they're praying through the destiny of their adult child. And that's a trap. And, yeah. You know, the enemy has tried to hook me into that. Are my kids where I think they should be? No, but who am I to measure their destiny and purpose? And so I have made a purpose, a choice in my heart that I have released them, that the Lord is the Lord. And I don't care what age they are. You know, that transaction happened, and why would I want to go in and fumble it in any way and try to reconnect ungodly soul ties and maybe some manipulation of prayer? It'll take me off the assignment that God has birthed in me. And isn't it just like the enemy to try to get us to look and, oh, poor Jimmy. You know, he needs me to fast and pray for him. If the Lord's not telling me to fast and pray for him, I'm not fasting and praying. And oftentimes it's not me that's going to, it's going to be, God will use somebody else. And so I'm just saying that as a free nickel to anybody who wants that. But as far as, one question I had when I was sitting there that I felt in the spirit was, I remember, you know, because I wasn't raised in God, so I was raised in the natural realm, and when you got a headache, you took an Advil or an aspirin. That's what I was taught. And so, you know, when sickness would knock on my door, I didn't know to rebuke it and speak the word of God. I took the pill. And so I was on pills when I met Jesus. I was on all kinds of stuff when I met Jesus. But, you know, I had high cholesterol. I had high blood pressure. I had a blood disorder. I had, you know, migraine headaches. But what happened to me was in the presence. I remember sitting in these meetings in Elgin, and the presence would heal me. And if it was the devil, it would manifest. Yeah. You know, there'd be this little, and it would leave. And I would go home, and I'd say, Lord, what was that? See, relationship. I wouldn't say, what was that? To my neighbor, I'd go home and I'd say, what was that? And he would say, oh, that was a demon. And it was, and I, what kind of demon? And he'd tell me, and he would show me where it came from. And as far as medicine, I made a decision in my heart that God's word's true, and I'm not going to rely on medicine. And I don't rely on medicine to this day. Now, I'm not saying you do the same. I don't care about that. But I'm no longer on medicine, and I haven't been in 100 years. Now, do I occasionally take an Advil? I have, yeah. But I prefer to pray first and win first, because what I've learned, when I broke my ankle, shattered it completely, I didn't know that you could command your bones to go back in place. That would have been my first choice if I would have known that. So I had to contend for my healing after I had been through the doctors, the medical system, surgeries, rehabs, more surgeries, and more drugs. And so I made a decision to contend for the healing in my ankle, and God did heal me. I have no issues with my ankle. Does it get stiff once in a while? I say, stiffness go in the name of Jesus, ankle loose, walk correctly. I speak to my body parts, and they obey. Sometimes they take a little bit, just like a little two-year-old, to get them lined up, but they do obey. And the other thing, from that time when I broke my ankle, and I heard that, you know, if Jesus, you know, Jesus was raised from the dead, to me, that's some pretty miraculous power right there. And he says, behold, I give you authority to trample over all the works of darkness. And you know, you can command bones to grow. You can command people to come to life. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, I believe that. And so when this bone was crushed, I spoke to the bones and commanded healing in my bones. And I was spitting mad, spitting scriptures, because I knew the enemy had caused this. And I commanded and demanded. And meanwhile, my body was in intense pain and I was in shock, but I kept insisting, and I watched the bone move back in place. So my testimony, I live on that testimony. I pull that forth when I fell through the deck. I laid there, we worshiped God, and I commanded, we prayed for the healing in my bone, and I don't know if it was a toe, I don't remember what was broke. It came into place. Another time, my rib, when I cracked my rib, I didn't get my healing right away, and I'm used to getting healings right away, because I insist on them. And I remember standing in front of the Walgreens, I was going to get a wrap, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, do you really want that? And I knew right then, no, I don't, because he's going to heal me. And so I didn't get the wrap, and I think I got healed that night or the next night in a service. Now, you don't need to go to a service to get healed, but I used to think you did, until I wasn't at a service, and I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and I have to command my bone to go into place. And so I prefer that Jesus tell me. You know, here's a weird one. A retreat, my gallbladder goes out. You know, I'm in the ER, and I'm like, I'm not having surgery. Devil's not going to win. I end up in this vision. I see the healing. I stand, and I'm healed, and I go back to the retreat. But I don't know, 6 months, a year later, I don't keep track of time, it acted up again. And at that time, I knew it to get it removed. You know, so there's no formula. And I, you know, I was believing for my gallbladder to be healed. And I don't know if he put a new one in. I don't know, and I don't care. All I'm saying is God's way is higher always. And when you're dealing with body parts or delay or decay, the problem I see is we get distracted and we get weak in our faith, because the enemy's like pummeling, saying, it's not going to happen. You know, your faith isn't strong enough. Our faith can raise people from the dead. Our words can speak life. So the devil's a liar, and we just have to stand and not give up. And I remember the testimony of Andrew Womack when he pushed the Bible on the floor with his nose, you know, and he doesn't deal with sickness. And I thought, now there's a man in faith. And I remember getting that migraine and, like, you know, pushing my face in the Bible and not wanting to. You know, when you got a migraine, you don't want to push your nose in a Bible. You want to say, help. And I remember standing against that, and I remember people praying with me, and I would not contend until that thing left. And it took some time, but I've never had a migraine since. And I'm never going to have a migraine. That devil's gone. And so, you know, when you're dealing with the enemy, first of all, I'm not so sure I just know that it's easier to defeat them instantly than wait. You know, if something hits you, fight back fast. Don't delay, because they get ground when they end up getting some ground in there. You know, I was going to take a nap this afternoon. I laid down. I was tired. I was crabby. And I laid down, and like 2 seconds before I fell asleep, I got a hit from the enemy. Now, I'm almost asleep, and I'm really tired. So I have a choice, ignore it or fight. And I fought. And it took 2 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, to defeat that thing, smash it to obliteration where I know it can never come again at me. And how do you know that? Because you're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit. And so we need to start growing and shifting our weight into more spiritual instead of head and analyzing everything. Rely on the voice of the Holy Spirit and get to grow in that, and he'll lead and guide you and give you strategies on how to overcome every battle and every obstacle.
I just want to say one more thing. You reminded me of something I didn't finish. Remember I said the first time is the worst. What I meant was the first time you have this battle, the battle isn't really, the devil's pushing you, but your mind is going, does this really work?
Yeah.
I'll push back. Oh, I don't know, it looks like he's winning. Oh, I'm going to push back. And at some point, you either wimp out and go, oh, maybe it doesn't work. But the problem is whatever happens, that either erects a structure of this works or I don't know if it does. And the next time is, if you win the first one, the next time is so much easier, and it gets easier and easier and easier because you have this string of monuments. Like Lori was talking about all these healings, she knows healings work. You know, she knows it works because she has personally fought through and won. And so what I wanted to say is it gets easier and easier and easier if you will stand your ground.
Amen. Only one more thing I want to say is I felt like, you know, I was blessed because I got to drive Edgar and Holly around for years. You know, and so when the phone would ring on Edgar's phone, and I'll never forget this, when one of the pastors called up and said, so-and-so, his little kid, was struggling with epilepsy, and Edgar prayed on the phone in faith for less than 30 seconds, and that kid got healed of epilepsy, never again had to deal with that. I mean, it's that easy if we have faith and the power and authority and the understanding and exercise it. Amen?